Hello, and thanks for joining us for this episode of the DINFOS Way, a Department of Defense podcast developed and produced at the Defense Information School. This program is dedicated to developing and showcasing the skills of military communicators, public affairs professionals, and industry experts from all over the world. I'm your host, Jack Rouse. I'm a former Navy and civilian journalist and a current training specialist here at DINFOS. Today's show is part of a new series of episodes designed to accompany our regular monthly entries, thereby giving you twice the content for the same low price of absolutely free. These episodes will focus on the incredibly talented instructors we have here at DINFOS, their teaching techniques, strategies, and tips, and information about the courses they teach for prospective students or interested listeners. Joining us in the studio today to do exactly that is DINFOS photo instructor Tommy Gilligan. Tommy is a former Navy photographer's mate who's one of the most talented instructors we have here at DINFOS. He's honed his craft over many years, spending time working at West Point with the New York Giants and most recently as a USA Today photographer, shooting sports for the Orioles, Ravens, and Nationals, among others. He joins us today to talk about the photography portion of the Mass Communications Foundation's course, his tips and tricks for young shooters, and what it takes to succeed in an ever-evolving career field. Tommy, thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me.
I'm so glad to finally get you in the studio. I've wanted to talk to you for a really long time. I'm a huge admirer of your skills, and I'm just really glad that you could be here on the mic with me today. So thanks for coming in.
Hey, that's super rad for you guys having me here. It's cool.
I am, again, a huge fan of what you do. We bonded over our mutual love of the Orioles since you've been shooting for the Orioles for a while. I am glad to have you here to talk again about you, but also what we teach here at DINFOS for prospective students who may not know that the photography portion of the Mass Communication Foundation's course exists and what it consists of. So that's what we're here to talk about. And first things first, I would love if you could give us just a brief overview of your career and sort of what brought you here today.
Wow, that's kind of a tough question, but hey, let's start it off with this. You know, like many people in the military, you come to a point, you got to transition out of here, right? I transitioned out after 6 years. Wasn't really sure what I was going to do. I thought I was pretty decent at photography, and I'm like, hey, I can make this work. And then I realized that what I thought was good wasn't even average in the civilian sector. But fortunately, at that point, I had an unbelievable opportunity to work at West Point. I worked there for 4 years, and I got to learn, not just from the people I worked with, understanding all the different nuances of command messaging, really. It was like, how do we tell a story to a very selective audience that really cares, but also on the national level? So I worked there for 4 years, had an amazing time, but at the same time, I started progressing, like, I didn't want to do more. And I got an unbelievable opportunity to work for the New York Giants. You know, I'll tell anyone in the world, the worst thing that someone can say is no. Take a chance, write the email, ask the questions, because that's what happened with me. Wrote an email, got an opportunity to work for the Giants for 4 years, traveled a bit with them, did a bunch of things. But most importantly there, I got to learn from others what the greats were doing out in the field. And it wasn't just like, oh, what camera are you using? What opportunity was it? It was, how are you going about this? How are you attacking this game? What are you trying to look for? What are those big things? Because there's no, at least I can't say there's no. For me, I didn't see the easy path. I didn't see what someone was looking for. Like, technically, fine, I can make a picture, but what is the message of the day? What are we trying to capture? Where do you need to be? And then after about 4 years at West Point, still working for the Giants and stuff, I was like, you know something, I want to expand more. My wife and kids already moved down to Maryland. And I'm like, all right, well, let's roll the dice. Let's go. Let's see what happens here. Moved down to Maryland without a job and randomly one day, Imagine Images, which used to be USA Today, which was a Gannett company, called me up and like, hey, you interested in working for us too, a couple games? I'm like, sure, absolutely. Let's go. Let's see what happens here. My first game I worked for them was a Navy football game. I was like, military football, like whatever, right? I've done this. I worked at West Point. I can do this pretty easily. Then I worked for I think my second assignment was the game RG3 went 360 in the air when he was with the Washington football team. And I was hooked. I was like, oh my gosh. Not just on the aspect of, you know, being on the field, all that stuff was cool, right? But like, watching how everybody else covered that and how everyone was working with that, right? I'm like, okay, this is what's happening here today, right? And I just realized the importance of what a picture truly was. And it wasn't just, oh, bright blue skies. What was the most news impactfulness, right? Learning from AP, learning from Getty, learning from some of the greats out there, right? And then shortly after that, I guess a couple years later, got the opportunity to come back here to teach. And I've been working side by side as a teacher and as a shooter now for about 10 years now, actually. That's 10 years this month, which is kind of cool. Well,
congrats.
Thanks, man.
Yeah. So having done all that, what is the difference in good sports photography versus great sports photography? Because obviously that's something that you are have a ton of experience in. And it's, you know, we teach here at the schoolhouse uncontrolled action photography. And of course, there's a lot of military sports that our shooters might get involved with as well. So from your perspective, again, what makes a good sports photograph versus a great one?
Well, I mean, when you first think about any of it, it's four exposures, really, at the end of the day. Like, do you want to stop something super fast? Do you want to add some motion to it? Do you want to pan or blur, right? I mean, that's a controlled thing that you can do as the shooter, right? And then it's shooting with intent, right? It's what do you want to happen here? What are you expecting the image to look like? Because it's kind of predictable at the end of the day. I mean, obviously, people do great, amazing things. But if you're setting up for certain angles and you're like, I'm expecting this person for a football play to drop back and throw. Well, if you're in that position and there's a sack from the backside, you're already there. You're already expecting that type of shot. What's those third, fourth order of effects? And then you start thinking about backgrounds, right? Because like everyone, there's hundreds of people out shooting, video everywhere, but it's lining yourself up. And sometimes it's just one inch over. It's knowing tunnel in the background. Can I just slide a little bit over here and hide that tunnel or block it and know that the wide receiver is coming across the lane and where that shot is? Because it's not about knowing the plays. It's looking for areas of pockets to find the frames, right? So I think a lot of that comes down to intent. And it's also understanding what you want the light to look like. Because like now we have these cameras with an unbelievable dynamic range. So we can really tune into what we want it to look like and really show that and highlight that aspect of it.
So when you're teaching MCF and we're teaching, again, it's a foundational course for folks who are unaware, so it could be students who've never even picked up a camera before. What was it difficult to go from being at one of the highest levels in photography and working for USA Today and all these great companies and then, you know, have to break it down to the fundamental levels that we teach students? Was it difficult to do that?
I don't really think it is because, I mean, at the end of the day, there's no trick photography in editorial. Like, I mean, don't get me wrong. In studio, you can do some trick lighting. Commercial stuff, you get into some kind of playful stuff, right? But if we're telling a story of what actually happened in front of us, okay, well, it comes down to perception, right? Where do you want to be? What do you want that to look like? And it's exposing the students, and again, putting yourself as a student in every class and going, okay, what are they seeing? What are their sum of experiences? What have they seen before? Because one, opposed to like when I came through in 03, I wasn't very visual literate. Like I was like, okay, that's attractive or that's a pretty shot, right? I didn't know what any of this stuff meant. But this generation, they've grown up being visually literate, which is leaning into their experiences and say, why do you like this, right? Mm-hmm. And going, okay, I see this, all right. You like this. This is why this is cool, right? And really kind of guiding them through it and being on the right and left and not saying like, oh, this is perfect rule of thirds and you have to follow my way. How do you guys see it? And leaning into what they're trying to show every single day. So you're just really expanding them and giving them the tools how to create what they want to see. Because a lot of times people will shoot really far away because they only have a 50 millimeter lens on there. Okay, cool. But they still saw the shot. All you had to do is zoom in on it, right? So it's really being able to interpret what they're seeing and helping them gain what they want to create. Because it's really just helping them find their vision.
Yeah, at the end of the day.
Yeah.
for the uninitiated, one of the reasons that we're here is to give folks an overview of the photo portion of the Mass Communications Foundations course. So can you give me sort of an overview of what that portion of the course is designed to do and sort of its objectives and goals for the students?
Sure. I mean, I think the biggest thing the course is supposed to do in the photo aspect leading into video is it's giving the opportunity to get ergonomically comfortable with a camera, right? Yes, can we take a lot of these photos on our phone or different phones? Absolutely. But now we can be more precise and tune something in. So we start off with the idea of saying like, hey, this is what a camera feels like in your hands. Just go play with it. Get comfortable walking around with it. Don't worry about terms. Don't worry about anything else. Just worry about what can this do, right? You feel good with it in your hand? All right, let me show you this. And we're giving them little tricks along the way just to open them up a little bit more just so they can create what they want to create with an idea at the end of the day that we want them to be able to isolate a subject from a background, pull them out of the crowd, whatever that may be. And then we look around like, okay, how can we make that better? What's that next step to it? Is it compositionally, can we make it a little bit better? Or is it exposure where we're sitting there like, can we add some flash to it, right? How do we add some storytelling motion to that, right? What do we use in terms of aperture at that point? Sometimes we want something to be so isolated that we're shooting a very shallow depth of field. Other times we're going to shoot at a deeper depth of field because we want to explain the difference between those two pictures and show the comparison so they can build a toolbox in their head and be like, oh, I see this light situation. I want the light to fall to the right side of their face. But by doing that, I know if I use a deeper f-stop like f8 or f11, that the right side of their face, or excuse me, the left side of their face is going to be in shadow. Mm-hmm. And I can actually kind of fluctuate that in that level. So it's teaching them how to be creative through their tools, not relying on post-production to get into that. And that really sets the fundamentals for what goes into video down the road, because the more comfortable they are with that camera in their hands and what it can do, then when they jump into video, we're just talking about a moving picture at that time. And that way we're just talking about moving, getting into the aspect of saying, hey, this is what we want. This is visually pleasing. How do we get there? Because a picture, we only have one shot to get that, right? But with video moving forward, going, and that's really that teaser getting into it, it's like, how do we get to that three-step process to bring someone into something? What do we want someone to see in a whole series of pictures? And how is it identifiable? And I think really by the tools of really, it's really a crawl at first. It's coming in going, okay, this is a camera in your hand. This is a really awesome tool, okay? Now let's look at it as hammers, right? It's a framing hammer, right? That's what we're trying with. By the end of it, when once we get to studio photography, they're chipping diamonds away. And like they're using little small hammers and little bits of detail and making fine-tuned adjustments, and they don't even realize it. They've gotten to the point where they're sculpting something and you're like, that's beautiful. That's exactly what we want. Now put that into reality. And once they start seeing that and you can lean into the sum of experiences, you're there all day. It's one term like I like to use, it's called load sets. It's like, this is your starting point, right? How do you make the variance from there? Because we don't want anyone to be a robot. That's not what this is. This is, hold up, this is a good way to start. How can you make this better in your mind? Which tool do you want to use now? How are we going to adjust that? Which lens is going to work here? And, they get a long time, even though it seems like a short period of time. The more time, like that time they invest in being particular allows them to really improve. And it's not an idea of like, oh, this person's the best. No, they just pick something up faster. That's all that is. Mm-hmm. So then you get into the idea of going like, how do we make them better? How do we make them feel comfortable in every situation? And it's not a, everybody gets a trophy type thing. It's how do we make that person's beginning level better tomorrow and then the following day? And then we just keep that process rolling through, and the curriculum really leads to that. It really lends to the idea, and it's not much different from what I went through, through the film days. We're not going through using chemicals. Okay, cool. We're not printing on paper. Okay, cool, right? But now they can lean in and they can try different things and immediately see if it worked or not. And it's leaning into the technology that it's absolutely amazing. Actually, I just had a student yesterday, two students who just graduated. One just did the Medal of Honor reenlistment, and the other one just did this awesome shoot down at Lejeune. I mean, recent grads just making frames that are just run on any front page of any newspaper, any publication that's out there. Why? Is they really good at their fundamentals, and they want to be there. They're putting themselves in positions to make unbelievable stuff. That's really what it comes down to. It's showing the excitement to the career field. I mean, anyone can learn terms on YouTube, right? It's and our job here is to coach them so they feel comfortable under this curriculum. And so they know that when they pick up a camera, that they can actually go out and make that frame. And I really think that's as simple as it is.
What are the key skills and knowledge areas that you want students to walk away from when they graduate from this course? Because we only have them for 108 training days in its entirety, and photo is only a portion of that. Mm-hmm. So what are those key skills that you think they should leave with?
I think the first thing is the desire. It's not being afraid to try something. You know, I think so many times, like for me, for an example, when I came through, I was just trying to get through the course. But now it's like, it's coming down to knowing what they want to create and how it can be done. And it's not, there's just one way of doing something. I think that's the biggest thing. It's getting them to feel comfortable enough with the fundamentals to get creative and know that what the safe shot is and how you make the more impressive shots. Really, sometimes that's just walking around in 360 and looking something a little different. You know, we all got a little ADHD in our minds, right? I got a little bit more than most. But where I'm going with that is, what's exciting about something? What does someone else want to see? It's not that me looking at something going, oh, this is cool, right? Our job is to make the mundane awesome, like legitimately. Doesn't matter what it is any single day, our job is to make the mundane awesome. We're supposed to show grandmas, grandpas, moms and dads, brothers and sisters, active duty retirees, what the cool things that we're doing in the military and highlight that, right? Also understand what commander's intent is too. People will look at you like, what do you mean by that? Well, why are we shooting it? What's the purpose behind it? Because it doesn't matter what it is. Everything's the same. It's ones and zeros. What's the composition? What is the idea behind it? And everything looks pretty cool at 1.2, and that's like a really shallow aperture. But sometimes we need to feather that out and show a little bit more of the scene. Or sometimes we need to shift a little bit so we don't have distracting elements. Or it's also how to brand the whole thing. Walking through these hallways and showing them what the difference is, something that's just kind of to something that's really cool. And that's just maybe taking one step over and leaning into the light, you know? I think that's probably like the biggest thing. And it's also not fighting light too. You think a lot of people have this idea of what they want to create, and they just stand there like, this is what I'm going to do. Light's not going to work for you today. Like, you're shooting backlit, and you want to see frontlit stuff. Get off your rear end, walk around the individual, and make that great frame because it's there, right? And it's allowing them, I think for me, and I guess I'm a little unique in this, of being able to walk someone through that and go, look how the light's falling here along the floor here. When's that great? Being able to do walkabouts in this building and seeing how the light shifts from one side of the building to the other and when the shot's appropriate or not. Because just because it's cool at 7 in the morning doesn't mean it's going to be cool at noon. And getting them to understand how light falls throughout the day, and you're like, oh, because again, these cameras today are computers. So now we're just setting an algorithm to them and how we want that set up. We want you to do this at this time during the day. Okay, cool. And that's an expected result to come back from that.
You know, it's interesting hearing you talk about that because like everything we do here, the technology increases and gets more amazing with everything, every generation that develops. But the difference between amateur and professionals is and has always been your foundational skills and how well you pay attention to that and how you expand on your fundamentals. But having to learn those fundamentals and stick to them and make sure that you have them is the biggest tool in your toolbox, I think. Mm-hmm. So I'm glad to hear you say that.
It's not harping on the fact that like this is really hard. Because you put that out there to students, and I'm not trying to take away from anyone who's amazing any of these mediums, right? They're all the same. We're just communicating a little bit differently, right? Mm-hmm. Some are written words, some are spoken words, some are through visuals, some are through graphics, right? All it is, we're communicating something. So we're teaching them a better way to communicate through the still camera. Okay. When you look at that and you show them the simple tricks, parlor tricks, if you will, right? They're not parlor tricks, they're fundamentals. We're just making the fundamentals sound a little bit more interesting, right? You can do this. Oh, now try this. And because they can immediately see it happening in their face and like, oh, I can improve it this way or that way. And we're all hands-on instructors. And I think that's really important to point out here. The fact that you cannot just say, hey, this is the lesson, go out there and shoot, right? Everyone around here is out there with their students. They're working with them and saying, like, this is one way you can do it just a little bit better, right? It doesn't matter how seasoned the experience or how new you are at this. We all have a sum of experience, and we can tell, see if something's visually interesting or not. And it's also expressing to the students on this that if you're not interested in this, why is anyone else going to want to look at it? You know, I mean, it's really that simple. If they don't find it interesting, then try it again. It's not that hard.
Yeah, find a new angle.
Exactly.
Get up, walk around, move, change things. Yeah, 100%. And it's that same technique for anything. You know, if mm-hmm. you get writer's block, get up, move around, change your environment, start thinking in a different direction. And it's the same way with photography, video, everything we do. Mm-hmm. Do you have any specific techniques that you use to engage students or things that you do in the classroom that might be a little different than what other folks are doing?
I mean, that's kind of tough to say because, I mean, everyone's got their own kind of cool thing to do, right? I like doing walkabouts with students. I think if you can't make something cool in your backyard, then you're not going to be able to make something cool out in town. You know, it's, you know, oh, I want to be down in D.C. Well, that's kind of difficult because you got a lot of people around right now. Let's walk around through here. Let's just see how we can find reflections that aren't coming off someone's glasses, right? Let's get away from the low-hanging fruit. Let's walk around and see if we can make a reflection off someone's lens by using some just stuff around the hallways, right? And being willing to walk through and try to make it yourself. So one of my favorite things to do when we get into composition is I don't give them any terms. I'm like, just go make cool things with people. Why? Because we can bring it back after the fact and be like, this is a really great example of a rule of thirds. This is a really great example of a leading line or whatever technique that someone's looking to create that day instead of having them go out and shoot specific things. Because it's like, okay, I know I'm taking a little bit of a chance with that, but being able to do that group review and saying, this is what this is, right? And having them define what composition is. It's a visually appealing arrangement of something, right? But when you have a sum of experiences of, you know, 18 to 25 students, and they can show what they see, you're like, yes. Instead of saying, oh, I want everyone to have a leading line coming from here to here. But that's not really going to convey to anybody. Nobody's really paying attention to that. But when you get the 18 to 25 students to see what that looks like, what is really cool from what each other did, it's not competition. I mean, maybe to some it is. I think it builds excitement, being like, my classmate can do this, I can do this too, right? And it's building that confidence in them. Because a lot of things, I mean, I could speak to myself that if it's new, I'm a little nervous about trying it. I don't like getting outside of your box. What feels comfortable is tough for someone to do. So breaking it down and keeping it simple and letting them build off the sum of their own experiences really, I think, propels them to do amazing things. I mean, the other thing is just keeping it positive. I think that in times past, you know, there'd be the old thing of like the murder board. Let's get up here and I could do it better than you can do it, right? Getting rid of that mindset, right? Like, no, that's not what we're here. We're here for your learning experience. We are here to make you reach your goals. And being your most genuine self in front of your students any given day allows them to get there. You know, we're not gatekeepers. We're here to help you reach your goal. And I think when they see that, I mean, I don't even really show much sports work anymore. I go around and shoot around the building and be like, this is what I see. Or in presentations, I use their work, right? Because like, you guys did this really cool yesterday. Let's use your stuff, not old student stuff, but this is what you guys did today. And incorporating that into the lesson plan so they can reinforce the information so they're connected to it. Because if you sit up there and just preach terms and you preach, this is how I used to do it or how I do it, right? I mean, it's understanding who you are too, right? At the point I'm at now, I'm a little older than they are. And that's cool. I got some experience, but like, I want to be on their level. I want them to want to learn, not just want to be like, dude, he's up there teaching now. Like, that's fine. Like, for some, that's what it's going to be. But it's also, how do we make them inspired every single day? Positive reinforcement all day long. If someone makes a mistake, that's okay. This is where they're at, right? Even on an exam. Okay, why did you do that? Not in a negative way. What was your thought process behind this? Okay, cool. We can work through that, right? Even if it's like, I don't know, I just shot that picture. Okay, at least there's a starting point. We know where you're at. And now we can kind of progress for something through that, right? Sometimes the students just get nervous because they have other things going on in their lives. And also, I guess that kind of gets back to where, let me kind of, again, excited here for a second. Making the students understand, not making them, but allowing them to see the fact that we're here for them and not going to the mindset of like, we are the authority. We know everything. We don't. This is a new field every single day. So I guess it's being cooperative in that mindset of saying, let's do this together. Let's help you reach your goal. My goal is to graduate 18 to 25 of you. How many of you show up in my class, right? I really want that to happen. And not just to push them through, but make them as successful as they can be. And also make them want to do it again, because that's huge. That's really important for them to want to get excited about the craft and know that they have their success and they can do their parlor tricks. Because I learned this years ago when I taught a different course. There's going to be some people in this career field, they're going to make it to E8, E9 and absolutely despise photography because of their experience here. Just like I really didn't like writing for a long time because it was hard for me. Okay. If I can see that myself, right? And I can see that in different mediums, then I know that's happening to some people in photography. Okay. How do I get them to respect it and how to enjoy or know the importance of it? If I can just keep that going, knowing that not everyone's going to be able to do this, but I can help them get there and feel comfortable with it, that's more important than making the superstar the best photographer in the world. Knowing that I have had some students now who are E8s, E9s, you know, from my list of days being here, and you're like, okay, they're in charge of the career field now. Wow. Okay. What did they see while they were here? How did they experience that? Why do they like something? Why do they don't like something, right? So I think that's part of it too, is being always reevaluated, knowing that photography is not the most important thing to everybody, right? But there is going to be a time that someone's going to have kids, nieces or nephews, or they're going to have a couple fur babies in their lives and go like, you know something? I want to be able to take the best pictures I possibly can of those moments. Doesn't have to be with a camera. It's being able to relate that you can do this on your phone too. There's certain limitations with that, but knowing that good composition, knowing where light is, that's the key to everything.
100%.
What is it about the photography portion of the MCAF course that you think really resonates with students when they leave?
I think that's a good question. I think what really resonates with students once they graduate MCF is the immediacy of it. It's the ability, once they get out here, what mediums are their peers seeing, right? You know, I'm no different than they are. I consume so much through social media nowadays that just last night, I think I mentioned this a little bit earlier, that a student that literally just graduated my class 4 weeks ago, five weeks ago, she's down in Lejeune and just did amazing stuff and got featured on the Marine Handles, right? Her work was amazing. And I think that when you see that, and then you see your hard work being immediately approved and stuff like that, that's one thing. It's low-hanging fruit, don't get me wrong. But they can see that their hard work is doing something positively, right? Now, not everyone's going to be featured on the Marine Handle or the Navy Handle or the Army or Air Force Handle or Space Force, Coast Guard. Not right off the bat, but you will be. But when you see your peers doing that, right, it just proves that the formula works. And I think that's something that really helps the students when they see that it's not about a competition, but it's about what their peers are doing and that their work is being seen immediately. I think that's something that's absolutely amazing in this career field, that it shows that these students are doing the thing, they've learned a task, they are able to repeat that task and show multiple different words in a sentence using pictures. And I think that's the biggest thing. We're not asking someone to be like, I need the same look every single shot. I want you to tell me a story. They know story. This is just another way to show that story, right? So I think that is the reason why students in MCF flourish to photography. I think it's, you can see something, you can create it. And again, it's a computer-based thing at the end of the day. So they can learn how to control the light the way they want to and have immediate reaction towards it. It's not like back in the day, you're out all day, I did such a good job. And you get back, you try to develop your film, and then the chemicals, or you rolled your film wrong, or you just did a bad job. I'm speaking to myself on that one, you know, you're like, I screwed up today. You know, it's not that. It's immediate. You have that immediate positive interaction that you can go, I did this well today, or how do I make this better? Because I think that's what drives many of them early on. And I've had students graduate that really haven't been the biggest fan of visual arts. But when you all of a sudden you're seeing your stuff being used, you're like, hold up, I'm doing something right here. And it's not the pat on the back, but it's that idea that I can do this and I can get better at this. And there's so much resources out there how to improve themselves. So that initial push leaving here helps them get through that and push back.
Yeah, I think that they really need to be aware that the real world applications for what we teach happen immediately the second they walk out the doors. Shout out to MC1 Trafton, who is a former student here and a former teammate of mine, who left here, went across the street to the Defense Media Activity, and almost immediately had to interview David Goggins for a 20-minute YouTube video that was all Navy. Mm-hmm. Something or other. It just walked right out of the schoolhouse, walked right across the street interviewing celebrities. So that stuff happens.
It's super cool about that. I mean, it's whatever they want to create with it too. I think that's a super neat thing. It's not just, I made a picture today. You know, it's, I can do this. I can have an idea going ahead into it. I got these tools right here. Let's go do something. And I think that's kind of that mindset going into it nowadays, where before we were just documenting things and we never saw where it was going. You know, sometimes it just went to JCCC or went to the internal sites or whatever it may be. JCCC is what DIVIDS is now, but like, you know, now it's, oh my gosh, my work's being seen worldwide. That's pretty cool. And sometimes that's that intrinsic drive that people need, right? But I mean, this, I could probably, I mean, I don't want to name drop people here, like who just recently graduated, right? But this past year, I was on the sidelines of an NFL game, and I looked around, and the guy, there was, I wish we got a picture of this, but we didn't. There was a former instructor working for NFL Films. There's a former Marine who is a DINFOS grad working for NFL Films. There was another individual who was working for Fox who was a DINFOS grad as a producer. And I think there was one other person, someone told me there was four of us on the field out of 50 media members or DINFOS grads. The proof's in the pudding. Like, we can do it, right? So now that we've been able to lean into technology and we can cut that learning curve so much faster, like, here are these tricks to move you and be able to do that, right? I think that's so freaking rad to me to know that, like, what we do here at the highest level is being seen. I mean, I can go into a lot of different things with that, but, like, I think just seeing how instructors are inspiring students every single day and showing how their peers are doing it, absolutely killing it, right? I mean, it's one of those things that I think is pretty neat every single day walking into this building.
What do you think is the big difference, or some of the big differences, I suppose, between military photography and civilian photography?
I think the biggest difference is intent. What's the message you're trying to create?
Mm-hmm.
No matter what, and if we're only speaking on the editorial level, right, because there's so much out there. But if you're just looking at the editorial side of it and just trying to tell that person's story, it comes down to experience, right? What are we trying to say today? You know, back in the day, you're hoping for maybe 5 or 6 good photos coming off a flight deck. All right, well, that's cool. I want to nowadays, we're at the point because of technology where it's like, I want to see the pilot's face panned as we're coming off that flight deck. That's not a shot that you'd ever expect someone just graduating from the schoolhouse to be able to get. Now today, they can do that because they're, one, uber leaning into technology, and they trust their gear and they can do things, right? Which is super cool. But that's the biggest difference. What do we want them to say, right? On the editorial side, you know, the civilian media, they'll tell the good, the bad, the ugly. The military side, we get to focus on very specific things and what's going to support our commander's intent. That's the biggest difference, I would say.
Yeah. No, I agree with that 100%. Although I think, as you mentioned earlier, having that intention behind every photo you shoot is one of the most important things. You know, the why of it. Why am I shooting this shot? Why do I need to get this angle? Asking yourself those questions, I think, makes you a much better photographer and, frankly, better at everything we teach here, I think.
Yeah, I mean, speaking of that, like, when I first got in with working for USA Today, which is now Imagine, I got to work next to Jonathan Newton with the Washington Post for years. And he said many amazing things, but one thing he brought up to me, and I never thought about this before, was sitting back and looking at historical photography. I looked at him, I'm like, well, yeah, I mean, I looked through photo books, and he's like, no, that's not what I'm talking about. He goes, I try to add 5 to 10 photos a year in my mind that I want to create. And I was like, keep going. What do you mean by that, right? And it's like, he's like, when there's an amazing lighting situation or something that appears to yourself, appears in front of you, right? I like to joke, like when the dragon shows up and just lands on the field, what are you going to do with it? You're going to freak out and say, oh my God, a dragon landed on the field? Or you'd be able to make that frame. And it's like, okay. So it's looking at what the great historical photography has done in the military. And it's looking at what those light conditions are. So you know what's about to happen. You're like, oh, it's anticipating that scene and going, this is what that is. And I think maybe that's something I try to relate to the students as well, where it's like, this is what this is about to happen. This is how we can kind of make this work for you, right? And again, keeping it small. You know, and it's, you know, the idea back in the day, we used to go out to the street and like, you go pan with cars and stuff like that. I mean, that's annoying, especially if it's cold out, right? Nobody wants to be out there where it's cold. But using a matchbox car and rolling it across the table, can you pan with that car? Cool. It's the same action. Literally, angrily, it's the same action, right? Different lens, but same action, right? Okay. Now I want you to be able to pan with the numbers on the car. Don't care about anything else. Wow. So if we're keeping everything small, aim small, miss small, then once we go into practicality of something, it's easier for them to create. And it's finding those, and I know this is from a previous question, but it's finding those earlier, those easy wins for them. So when it comes to the big thing, when they're in the field and all of a sudden dirt's flying everywhere, and I'm just talking field training exercises and stuff like that, they know what to expect. They know what's about to happen. They know that at a certain shutter speed, that will freeze that. And it's a multiple repetitions of trying to say, hey, this is what I want. And that, I guess, goes back to what Jonathan told me. It's like, what's going to happen here? How can you show your students that same mindset? Cool, let's go. Like, to me, that's all it's about at this point. It's like, how are we going to set them up for success? You know, just like in writing, you know, we work on what a lead is and we talk about how we're going to bring someone into a story. Okay, well, if you're just going to show me one picture 100 times, I'm not going to see all 100 pictures. I'm done after about 4. So once you show me that one trick, what's your next trick? And not sitting there going, oh my gosh, what am I going to do with this? Maybe it's getting down low on something. Maybe it's getting up high on something. But it's also giving them those wins during that time frame, if that makes sense.
Yeah. You know, we talked a little bit in that previous answer about sort of technology and the future of the career field and how things are evolving and changing. And that is my next question to you. Having done this for so long and being an expert in the field, how do you see it changing with the AI and our ever-evolving technologies? Where do you see the future of the career field sort of headed?
Wow.
Have you thought about it? If not.
No, I have. I thought about it way too much. I mean, we could probably talk about this for 4 hours, right?
Sure.
I think with AI, it's an amazing tool, right? Like, we have to embrace it at some level, but we also have to become more, in my opinion, right out of the camera and be able to nail it in the camera and release it that yes. way. Mm-hmm. I'm not a big editor. You know, I think it's fine-tuning in computers when we get on the computer. But, like, I think we have to be able to release the photo off the camera. I think we're at the point now where technology, that the students have the opportunity not to wait to fix it in post. And we have to make it because we're supporting the commander's intent. Like, we're living in a day and age that we flip through Facebook, Instagram. You know, it's like, is that a real video? Is that a real still? Was that photo altered? No, we need to create a standard that, again, I'm speaking out completely on my own opinion on this, but like, it's off the camera and that's what it is. We send that to David's and that's how that's going to stand. And then, you know, everything else from that comes from it. Like, you know, we post it to social media, we use it in a news story or whatever, right? It's been digitally altered. Okay. Because it's no longer a photo at that point, right? So, like, I think that's really the way we're going to have to go. So our message is believed. You know, nothing against anybody else, the way they edit, that's not where I'm going with this. But our mission is to support the DOD. And, like, we need the American public, especially the American public, to believe in the stories that we're selling, that we're sharing with everybody. And that has to come down to knowing that this command puts out imagery that's real. And it's believable, you know, and if we don't start going to that, you know, people are like, oh, that's just the pictures. It's not just the pictures. That gets into the PAO's messaging. And when people don't believe that, we're fighting ourselves.
No, I 100% agree with you. And it is maintaining those fundamental skills that is going to be so valuable as things grow and evolve and change. Because like you just said, if we can just do it in the camera to start with, which is the way I was always taught and the way I teach my students now, you're already ahead of the game, right? You don't have to go in there and do all that editing and changing the things. And what we're trying to do is maintain our credibility, which is going to be so incredibly important as the future rolls on.
I mean, when you look at like what, you know, people who are working news today, right? Working major sporting events today. That imagery is just flying off your camera and an editor is smacking a caption on it and it's going. Most of the time, they're not even cropping it. Like they may fix their horizon, but there's no toning. It's like you have to be that precise in your camera. You know, and they used to say that it takes time and all that stuff. It did. With the previous cameras, it took time to do that. It took time to learn how to do that. Nowadays, I think the way we're teaching things, that can be the standard. And I think that's so important to further what the future of, you know, storytelling in the military is. This is what truth is. Like it or not, this is what it looked like today. Because there's 1,000 other people who are around you with a cell phone taking a picture. And if you try to digitally alter it at all, that's when the trolls come out. And let's stay away from the trolls. Let's not give them ammo. Let's give them exactly what happened, and we move on. Our job is not to fill content to make people happy all the time. This is what the picture looked like. This is what happened, whatever it may be. And we're not going into, you know, bad stuff, but like, if it's not a beautiful sunset, it's not a beautiful sunset, and that's fine. That's okay. You know, for former Navy folks, if you're on the East Coast, that stinks. If you're a West Coast sailor, you get some beautiful sunsets. And I was always jealous of them that. But like, you know what I mean? Like, you look at what that light is, and you go, okay, cool. You know, and then you move forward with it. And the better you know your gear, and you know what that camera can do, the better your picture is going to be.
What's your favorite photograph that you've ever taken?
I could say something cliche like the next one, but like, there's been a couple over the years where like I've looked at it and gone, wow, did I just do that, right? Gosh. I really try not to think about this too often, but I did some stuff with Lamar last year where I was Lamar Jackson, the Baltimore Ravens. I was really proud of, you know, it just being in the right position under the right light. I've done some stuff in baseball. There was one photo I was working probably, three home stands. And I think I told you about this one before, right? But like the Orioles got a bunch of young bucks. And there's a photo up in the Baltimore Orioles press box of the whole team leaving the dugout. And I was like, all right, how am I going to do this? Like, I can't be in the dugout. I'm not the team photographer, right? But there's a certain shot that, you get the right angles, you can kind of mess with that, right? So I'm messing with this shot for the longest time. And I'm all of a sudden, the light was just right, and I just saw Rushman kind of like leaning out and just kind of walking out in this really stoic walk to the home plate. And I don't know if anyone else really cared about that photo, but I worked so hard for that photo. I'm like, okay, that's legit. And then like there's some stuff I did Army Navy this past year that it just looks like it almost looks like the stormtroopers are all just lined up. Right? Just all the soldiers just like, yeah, I'm like, dude, that's pretty legit. And I've worked that photo for so many years. And I'm like, you know something? I don't know if I'm going to get this opportunity again. I'm going to go and do this, make this frame today. And there's one, I guess, I'm not a big fan of mascots. It's just mascots sometimes are kind of whatever. Sometimes they get in your way and you're like, come on, dude, like, what are you doing? Like, I get it. If they get the gimmick, but don't mess with my day. Right. But the Michigan State mascot will always have something special in my heart. A couple of years ago, Sparty came up to me and like grabbed my camera and started taking pictures. And I was like, hung out with me for a while. I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. But Sparty this past year was Maryland game, sun setting over the right side of the press box, and his arm is like just up against his rib cage, and the sun is just bursting through, and I got some really cool sunburst coming right through his arm. And I was walking up, and I saw like the light coming through. I was like, oh gosh. I'm looking for something to make a sunburst with, because I mean, it's not a hard technique, but you need to put something in front of it. And I'm walking through, I was like, oh my gosh, don't you move, Sparty, don't you move. I made the frame, and after the fact, I looked at Sparty and I showed it, and I, you know, got the double thumbs up from Sparty. And I was like, cool, you know? It's stuff like that. It's being able to find the art within those types of things. It's not necessarily the biggest play ever, because it's like, I can always criticize that shot. I can always go like, I could have done this better. But it's the small little shots like that that I've really worked hard to find that you're like, oh, that's what photography's about. It's about what's going to make someone remember it. Right. That to me, I think, is probably the most, those kind of cool shots I've taken. I'm sure there's probably cooler stuff I've done and probably more memorable stuff and other things. There's a first, what's his name from the Texas Rangers? I can't remember his name off the back. It's, I can see the back of his jersey right now. Number five. But, 2 years ago in the playoffs, I made a really nice frame of him at first base, and it just, the way the red light came out behind him and just like illuminated him in this really low light sunset. I really like those shots. I think it's the quiet moments, I guess, is what I'm trying to get to.
Yeah.
That pull you out of a sea of 80,000 people or baseball stadium, 35,000 people, screaming fans, and you see that McCann actually. Now that you got me thinking about this, I can't remember when this was, but McCann, who used to be a backup catcher, utility guy for the Orioles, he was on the field with his kids, and I don't know, his boys might have been, I don't even know if they were even 5 years old at the time, like. But he was on the field with him. He made these really nice, he was just hanging out with him, and no one else was out there. And just the quiet moments of a dad and his sons out there. And then seeing him walk up to the manager of Cleveland at the time, Tito, and introducing him to his sons. And like, there was something about that. I guess I could relate to it. You know, not the fact of introducing my kids to a baseball manager, but spending those quiet moments with my kids at the fields, right? When I would shoot one of the kids' sporting events, and the other one would be with me, right? I guess those quiet, relatable moments that really stick out in my brain.
Yeah, I mean, and at the end of the day, it's creating something amazing out of the ordinary,
mm-hmm.
and that's very much what we do here.
Yeah, and I think that's the goal of anything. It's, you know, you can be boring. You can be basic, right? But if you just take that one step further, right, you take the most mundane thing in the world and make it amazing. That's really it.
Tommy, I think we could talk probably for another couple hours. I have a ton more questions that I could ask you, but I'm going to leave it there because I think we've gotten to the heart of what we really wanted to do today, which was introduce interested parties to what we do here in the photo course and the portion of the MCF course. So thank you for coming on and doing that today. You are endlessly interesting as always, and I think that people can take a lot from what you said today and apply it to not only photography but communications as a whole, and I think that's incredibly valuable. So again, thank you so much for coming in today.
Thanks for having me on, guys. Really appreciate it.